By now, many of you with scheduled doctors and therapy appointments have done them through video conferencing. Now, some addiction specialists say this message has actually improved the way they're able to help some patients. Our partners at STAT, the Health and Medicine publication, recently highlighted this in a piece titled, COVID-19 Has Streamlined Addiction Medicine. Will the changes stick? We'll post that link at hereandnow.org. In the piece, STAT spoke with several addiction experts about telehealth resources and expanding their services during the pandemic. Among them was Dr. Stephen Lloyd from Tennessee. Thank you for joining us, Doctor.
Thank you, Tanya.
Well, Doctor, telemedicine is being used by providers in substance abuse disorder treatment. I'm wondering from you, how have you been able to incorporate this into your work since this outbreak began?
Tanya, we actually incorporated it very early on. And at the very start, before our state, which I practice in Tennessee, before our state initiated the stay-at-home order. So we were already up and running as we, you know, anticipated this. But it's really, you know, I describe it as, you know, as letting the genie out of the bottle. One of the big blocks to people getting help with substance use disorder with medication is actually physically getting, you know, to and from the clinic because of a variety of things, not the least of which is not having a legal driver's license. And so whenever we incorporated this, the percentage of patients that we had showing up regularly for their scheduled appointments skyrocketed. I've had multiple days over the past month where I had 100% show rate, which was unheard of before the pandemic.
Oh, really? You know, those are details that we don't consider. Someone who does not have a driver's license, perhaps because of a DUI conviction, those types of things. Allowing you to be able to talk to them through teleconferencing really takes away that barrier. I also want to ask you about something else. You've said that telemedicine has also helped you gain insights into your patients' living situations. In a way, that makes sense, but how so?
Well, you know, you have patients that come into your office and you see them, you know, during that 15 or 20 minute time period. And that's what you know. You know, when they're doing this from home, I'm able to discover things that I didn't know before, living situations. So I think when I did the STAT News article, there had been two patients that I had discovered were actually homeless. They were living in their car. And, you know, of course, there's resources available to help those folks. And so I was able to identify that from just, you know, looking at them on, you know, on my computer screen. And then, you know, that's a delicate thing to talk about. You know, there's a lot of shame associated with that. And so able to broach that subject and then get those folks help. Since the article came out, I've actually found one more. Now, they weren't living in their car, but they were living, you know, basically hotel to hotel and couch to couch. And so it gave me insight that, you know, you can't get from a, you know, from a face that somebody puts on coming into your clinic because, you know, a lot of times just they're ashamed.
Mm. Are there any drawbacks that you've experienced?
Well, Tony, the biggest drawback is, you know, the people who know me know this is true. I am a relational human being, big time, and I think we all are. But that's the big drawback, is just that face-to-face interaction. And then a lot of folks, you know, really get help from support groups. It can be 12-step groups. It can be, you know, connection through, you know, sometimes religious organizations and there are various other things you get connection through. And I think whenever, you know, this happened, it's hard to recreate that on telehealth, although it's not impossible. I don't think that it totally replaces being able to get together face to face because of that, you know, direct human interaction. And I think those are, you know, for me, those are the main drawbacks.
I can imagine that. That makes a lot of sense. Have there also been challenges in prescribing medicine to your patients over FaceTime or other types of telemedicine services?
I feel almost guilty for saying this, but it's way better. Most of our clinics that I oversee and that I run, we use medication buprenorphine. A lot of people know as Suboxone. And there are multiple challenges with that. Diversion is a problem. You know, altering prescriptions, you know, sometimes can be an issue. But with what we're doing now, it's all done electronically. You know, and this was in the process of happening just on a really slow pace. But it actually makes prescribing easier. You know, I can see a patient, evaluate their needs, hook them up with their therapist or group therapy, and then, you know, right after it's over, they get an email with their next office visit without standing in line, you know, leaving the office, waiting on an appointment card, you know, traditionally that's written down with a date and time. And then all the while, the medication goes, you know, directly to their pharmacy via e-prescribing. And so we were doing some of that anyway, but now it's every patient. And the other thing is we've actually worked with some pharmacies that we can actually have patients' medications delivered directly to their door. So we're not even exposing them to be getting out and going into a pharmacy or exposing our pharmacy interaction with our patients.
The other downside, though, I want to ask you, are the people that work inside of a clinic or a hospital setting, they do rely on the patients to come in as part of their job, assessing and those types of things. Are they still needed in this telemedicine world?
The truth is all of them probably won't be. But that doesn't mean that that you can't use them for other things. So a lot of the people that we hire are in recovery themselves, right? And some of them, it's difficult for them to find jobs because of, you know, our country's propensity to try to use the criminal justice system for drug treatment. And so they have charges that make, you know, in their past, that makes it hard for them to find a job. So we're talking about repurposing those folks into recovery coaches, recovery support services, which we know are very important in, you know, in all phases of recovery, but it's essentially the first part of recovery. So now you talk about taking them out of jobs of checking patients in and out and then moving them into jobs where they can actually start to do some of the things that they've been trained in, because a lot of them are certified peer recovery specialists. So I think you still have the same number. I just think you become more able to enhance your recovery support services.
With all of this, do you see this system working after we are able to get back to going to in-person doctor visits?
Tony, I certainly hope so. This is a tool that we've had hopes for a long time. That was probably coming in small increments over the next few years, and the pandemic, you know, obviously has sped it up. But I certainly hope we have the opportunity to use this tool. And as I said before, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. You know, now that it's out there and we know what we can do, and really, whenever you're talking about people with opioid use disorder, it's about access to treatment. And I live in Metro Nashville, just right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And a lot of my patients are not from Metro Nashville. They're from rural areas. And so now you're talking about being able to save them driving distances, 30, 45, some patients an hour each way in their car to and from the office. All these limitations that patients have, you know, that maybe are struggling with jobs and don't have the money for gas and things like that. Now you're able to deliver that care really over the internet. It's really, for me, it has been a godsend for my folks in rural areas, and I certainly hope we don't get that tool taken away from us. But I can tell you one really positive thing that's already happened in Tennessee is our largest insurer, Blue Cross Blue Shield, made an announcement last Friday that they are going to continue telehealth services even after the pandemic. And I'm hoping that the other insurers fall in line around that, because that was such great news. I immediately screenshotted that headline and, you know, sent it to my peers that, you know, that feel the same way that I do.
That makes total sense as well, because you want your patients to be able to afford this type of service. And if their insurance requires them to be in person, that will change the dynamic.
Right. And I think that it's a tool. You know, do I want to replace all of my interactions with my patients with the, you know, telehealth platforms? No, I don't. I love the patient interaction. It's why I'm a doctor, you know, and to be honest with you, a lot of times it feeds me, you know, in that personal interaction. And because my patients do well, you know, I was telling somebody earlier today, my favorite visit is the second one. Because the second one, I get to see how far somebody came in just a few days, and it's really amazing. Mm. And so I think that that's hard to replace on a computer. And so I think that, you know, there'll still be that doctor-patient interaction, but this is a huge supplement and allows us to deliver care in rural areas that otherwise is very, very difficult to deliver.
That's Dr. Stephen Lloyd, an addiction expert in Tennessee. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tanya.